Blog Talk Radio.
Some days it seems like it's so hard to get out of bed. So many issues facing me is coming to a head. I stand in needing your anointing. Lord, cover me and renew in me the right spirit to lead. Till that secret, sacred place in you. Make an atmosphere to hear from you. Restore me so I'll be renewed. You kept me here and you see me through.
Welcome, praise the Lord, to another month. Hallelujah. We bless the Lord. We reverence God for his goodness to still yet be in the land of the living during this age, during this time of coronavirus, during this time of just craziness, for lack of other word, for other words. This is Amazing Grace Ministries. We are destroying the yokes of bondage. And I want to welcome you to Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Dr. Maria Carey, CEO and president of Amazing Grace Ministries. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Since the last time I was with you, there was a struggle in my health, but y'all, I'm feeling really good this morning. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to thank this everyone that helps to put this ministry to help to support, help to move this ministry forward. Certainly, I have the best co-host that anybody on this side of heaven can have, and that is none other than evangelist, missionary, doctor, renowned Terry Rogers. Certainly, I want to bless the Lord for her. She is a godsend. Hallelujah. I praise and thank God for the spirit in this young lady. So when y'all hear this, y'all just hook her up on Facebook and say, I've heard good words from you. I've heard good words about you. Because certainly she is a blessing to this ministry. Hallelujah. I don't know. This ministry has been functioning. This blog talk started on 2019. Before we were doing it on another series, but it wasn't ours. Meaning we were allowed to be a part of another ministry. Well, this blog is totally on Amazing Grace Ministries. So once you hear this blog, this is Amazing Grace Ministries blog, and certainly we thank God for what he has given us and the fact that we have been able to maintain this blog for the last, hallelujah, since 2019, hallelujah, consistently. We've only been off a couple of days, praise the Lord, sick, well, rain, shine. We have been on, and certainly you can hear this blog. You can hear any of the blogs that Amazing Grace Ministries have put out just by either going to my Facebook page, Amazing Grace Ministries, Inc., or you can go to Blog Talk Radio and look up Amazing Grace Ministries. Now, amazing is spelled A-M-A-Z-E-N. It's a little different. It's not the regular spelling with the I-N-G. I put an E-N because it's just amazing. Hallelujah. So you can catch us that way. Hallelujah. We have been going in a great series for the last couple of months, and today is going to be the last day that we will do this series, so this blog may be a little bit longer, and I forewarn you beforehand, so just hold on to your seats. Praise the Lord. Now, we usually do announcements, so this is our announcement. It's going to be quick and simple. Amazing Grace School of Ministry, we coming, look for us in September. We're going to have exciting material. We're going to continue to teach, train, and minister to empower the people of God and those that have not, don't know the Lord in the pardon of your sins. I pray that when you click on this, that you will be invited to accept Jesus as your Savior. Now, hallelujah. I've had a birthday, so I'm a year older. Praise the Lord. I thank God for that. I've also just finished a renowned program, mental health coaching program, which was extremely exciting. I'm going to get you more of that information to teach and train, and we're just going to start doing those series. And we're going to deal with our mental health because it is important to deal with our mental health in order to be spiritually healthy. Hallelujah. Praise God. You can't walk in the fruit of the Spirit if you are mentally unhealthy. And certainly we're going to bring you series, bring you training, bring you information that will help equip and train and teach and empower. That is the goal of this ministry, is to teach, to train, and to empower. Hallelujah. Thank God. So let's get into this lesson. Praise the Lord. We've been doing this lesson. We've been in a 2-month, 3-month series, and this is the last day. This is August the 1st, and we're going to put a cap. We're going to put the candles on. We're going to light it. We're going to blow it out, and we're going to move on next week. Praise the Lord, will be a different lesson, but we're putting the cap on operating in the fruit of the Spirit. And this topic and this last lesson is becoming the person God wants you to be by demonstrating fruit. So let's get to the scripture. John 15:8 reads, Herein is my Father glorified, that she bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. And we have been dealing with Galatians 5 and 21 through the 26th verse, 22 to 23 is where we get our fruit. But this is the Amplified version that I'm going to be reading to you today. Envy, drunkenness, riotous behavior, and other things like these, I warn you beforehand, just as I did previously, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. 22. But the spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, the result of his presence within us is love, unselfish concern for others, joy, anger, peace, patience, not the ability to wait, how we act while waiting, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. 24. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature together with its passions and appetites. If we claim to live by the Holy Spirit, we must also walk by the Spirit with personal integrity, godly character, and moral courage. Our conduct, empowered by the Holy Spirit. 26, we must not become conceited, challenging, or provoking one another, envying one another. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord God. So we've been doing the King James Version. We've been doing the New Life Translation Version because it is good for you to understand the Word of God in its text and what it's saying and break it down. Sometimes we look at the King James Version and we see all these words and we see all these information, and we just pass over some stuff because we don't understand it. But we must learn to break it down to understand what is the text saying to us and how do we interpret the text. Now, saints of the Lord, I bought a book. Hallelujah. I've been doing a lot of research on this topic for the last 2 months. Praise the Lord. We have been working, this ministry has been looking at the fruits of the Spirit, because the fruits of the Spirit, as I've been doing my course, mental health course, that deal with the fruits of the Spirit, and the Lord impressed it upon me to really begin to deal with the fruits of the Spirit in terms of how we operate, how we live this daily life, how we functioning, how we living, and in this day and time where such a day we're living with the COVID-19 and so much violence going on, that we as saints of God must start pulling down these strongholds, and we've got to be representative of Christ and his power. So I have purchased a book. Of course, you can go online and you can verify. I know book reading might be out of date, but I purchased a book called The Fruit of the Spirit, Becoming the Person God Wants You to Be, by Thomas E. Trask and Wade I. Goodall. And you could go to Harvest Christian Bookstore and you can get this book. I encourage you to pick it up and to read it. I found it fascinating. I found a lot of good information in my course of research on this topic. So I would encourage you to do that. Now, there is nothing more important to us than the fruit of the Spirit. We have discussed most of all the fruit, learning how to operate in them. We also learn the opposite of operating in the fruit. We're living in the day of COVID-19. We're navigating, trying to deal with a hurting humanity, and we desperately need that for which cometh from God. We definitely need to hear a word. We definitely need to hear something that's going to break the yokes of bondage off the people. We definitely need to be able to stand strong in the liberty of the Lord with the power of his might through the Holy Spirit and speak a word that will change somebody else's life. And in order to do that, we must be empowered and energized by those fruits. Now, we talked about his love. We talked about his love in terms of the agape love, that kind of love that is fulfilled in Christ, that kind of love that gives of ourselves to be kind, or to love people, to see people as God's people, God's individuals, God created, versus being self-centered. And we dealt in the scriptures, and if you want the scriptures, I'm going to keep it simple. Text me up and say, Dr. Carey, what the scriptures are, and I give them to you. So then we talked about his joy. We talked about the joy being the kara, hallelujah, that natural reaction to the work of the Lord, and that work of the Lord, that promise of fulfillment, come on, Holy Spirit, the expression of God's kingdom that's influenced on earth. We talked about the joy of salvation. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of deliverance. And the more we press into God, the more we have joy. When it looks like we're in troubling times, we may be troubled on all sides, but look like the joy. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. Hallelujah. And then we had scripture that back it up. There's joy of spiritual maturity, the joy of God's presence. Hallelujah. Then there was his peace. God's peace transcends earthly matters. Philippians 4:4-7. Believers are to be anxious for nothing, for God's promise is to guide your heart and your mind. It is a peace which transcends all understanding. That is, hallelujah, the worldly mind is incapable of having peace. It is peace is the source of the Holy Spirit, hallelujah, whom the world neither sees nor understands. John 14:17. Hallelujah. So when we look at his peace versus anxiety and versus the anxiousness, the fear, we are to be not fearful, because we are to rest in the Lord. The spirit-filled Christian has a peace that is abundant and available in every situation. And we talked about his love, his long suffering. I'm going to slow it down. His long suffering. We talked about that a long time, because how long is long suffering? It's to suffer a long time. But when we go through our problems and our trials and our tribulation, we go through it with the fact that God is with us, the fact that God is by our side. So we may be troubled, but we're not perplexed. We may go through, but God is right there with us. So we don't have to worry. We can trust in the power of the Lord and understand that God is going to bring us out. We have self-restraint. We are not stirred to anger, frustration. We suffer long. We go through it with patience of the Lord, with his ability to take us through every trial and tribulation, because we know that when we come out, there's a glory. There is a confidence, assurance in knowing that God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all I could ask or think. Now, you may be praying a long time. You may feel like God has turned his back on you, but that's all right. It's a test. It's a test, and when we pass it, there's glory on the other side. Praise God. Hallelujah. So it don't matter how long the test is. The question is, can you pass the test? Because if you don't pass it the first time, you got to keep going on through it over and over again. Hallelujah. So God is there. God's long suffering can come to an end. Hallelujah. But he sees us through. You know, God is patient with us. God is kind with us. But God is not going to keep on allowing people to wade in their sin and there not be repercussions for your behavior. We are dealing in the time now where we see coronavirus. We see storms. We see that we're operating in the end times, in the time, perilous times, as the Bible calls them, and God is on his way back. So as for the Christian, he is with us. He helps us endure our suffering because that's a test. But as to those that don't know him, those that say, well, I don't think that I'm going to be saved, well, I don't want to know the Lord, I tell you, you're missing out on a good thing. Then we talked about gentleness, meekness. We talked about the expression of God's love towards his fellow man. We talked about being patient. We talked about being kind. We talked about being concerned. We talked about not being provoked when you get cut off. You know, one of the examples when you're driving and you either behind a slow driver or you behind somebody that cuts you off, but it's gentleness, it's meekness, it's being restrained, it's walking in those fruits that will keep you calm when people around you seems to be. You know, when we look at kindness, when we look at, you know, you talk about, and when you deal with people on a one-on-one basis, when you're kind, when you show love, versus that person want to get angry, want to get heated. But if you continue to be kind and show love, then you'll find that your love and your kindness turns that person around. You know, when a person wants to get into a heated argument, it takes two to be get into an argument. And, you know, it takes one to walk away. But when you show that person kindness and love, that person does a 360, because that's gentleness, that's kindness, it's being helpful, it's being kind. And then there was godliness, goodness, not godly, but goodness. Is the goodness is the virtue and holiness in action. It results in a life characterized by deeds motivated by righteousness and a desire to be a blessing. It's a moral characteristic of a spirit-filled person. It's not like saying, oh, I ain't going to help them. They can help themselves. What does God love? You know, we last week, the civil rights individual, we saw his funeral, John Lewis, and we know, everybody know John Lewis, everybody's seen him, and he went on to be with the Lord. And certainly, if you were able to see his funeral on television, you did so. And you know, he talked about so many things, being kind, and he was decent to everybody he met. When you look at goodness, when you look at being kind, God loves justice and mercy. God requires that of us. We've talked about justice and mercy on several of our blogs and talked about what does God require of you. And one of the presidents talked about that, I do believe, at during his funeral. And the scripture will come to me, and I will look it up for next week. But God requires this of you. And if we see the state of affairs, if we see, you know, the incident on television the other day where somebody was beat up for not wearing a mask, we see incidents of the opposite of goodness, a moral, just, and I'm going to talk about the sinful nature, so I don't want to get into that, so I'm going to move on. But we see that God requires that we help those that can't help themselves. And then there is his faithfulness, and that is the trustworthiness and stewardness of character in the life of the believer. Now, the Greek word talks about petis. Pittis, and it translates, among others, as faith, belief, and trusted. Those who are faithful are dependable. We can place our trust in them. God is a best example of faithfulness. He will never break his promise to you. Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 and 13, if we are faithless, and he's talking to God, God will remain faithful to us, for it is his nature. Now, when we look at the Bible in Matthew, when we see the talents, that is a good example of what God is saying, faithfulness. God is saying that we must be faithful to the work that he has our hands, that he has entrusted to us to do. And of course, we don't do anything of our own accord, no, but it is in God that allows us to do it. And certainly we talked about his self-control, and self-control versus self-indulgence, but we don't give in to our passions. So the fruit of the Spirit in our life is the life of our Lord in Jesus. So the fruit of the Spirit is the life of our Lord Jesus Christ acting in the believer. Christ stated that he would send us a comforter, and that of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost dwells and controls us. The fruit of our personality becomes manifested as we yield ourselves to him. If we forget everything else that we have dealt with in the past 2 months, and of course this is going to be the last time we deal with this subject, I need you to remember two key things. One, we are filled with the Holy Spirit by faith with the evidence of signs according to Ephesians 5 and 18. And it says, do not be drunk with wine, which is a dispensation. Be filled with the Spirit. We have this promise, 1 John 5, 14 through 15. And you can read that. Oh, I'll read it. Confidence and compassion and prayer. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, wherever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked in him. So the bottom line for this point is that God is faithful. God will fill us, and we will have signs according to the whole being filled by the Spirit of the Lord. So, second point I also want to make is that the fruit of the Spirit operates in the believer also by faith. So, the Bible states that we bear much fruit, showing ourselves to be God's disciples. Again, point one is that we are filled with the Holy Spirit by faith, and those signs are evident. And if you feel there are going to be signs that you operate and you move in, and those fruits will manifest themselves in you. And two, they operate by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now, a lot of times, and even myself, you know, I'm learning, I haven't arrived, I'm still learning, I'm striving, I'm trying to learn all I can, and each and every time I come to the Lord and read His Word, there is something, a new revelation. And I had an epiphany, I had a revelation during this time. There's certain areas in this lesson where I refer to the fruits pearling, but it's not a pearl, a pearly element. You don't refer to fruits, but fruit. It's singular. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And I learned that is because although there are many fruits, just like an apple has, just like a tree has many apples, but those apples come from the same tree. That's in the same way the Holy Spirit is our tree. So all the fruit in our lives come from the same tree. So as we walk in Christ, we follow after His stature, we operate or demonstrate Christ-like attributes that bring glory to God, which is very different from the world. So spiritual fruit produce the characteristics of Christ, that the Father is glorified. However, you are not going to bear those fruits without a fight from the enemy. As we have learned, there's an opposite. There is the fruit, and then there's the opposite of this fruit. And if we are not tuned up, if we have not got our devotionals in the morning, if we have not spent time in the presence of the Lord, if we have not taken the time to fast and to pray and to seek God, saints of the Most High God, we will not operate in the fruits. We will operate in the opposite of the fruits, which is contrary to the fruit. Now, we have been talking about the fruits. We've spent time on the fruit. We've dealt with it. We've defined it. But I want to end this note with talking about that sinful nature, that we may be conscious of what we need to do in order not to operate in the opposite of this sin nature. So there's a conflict between the sinful nature and the spirit, according to Galatians 5 and 17. And I know that we've been talking about the fruits, and we've been talking about, and we've been reading that first scripture that precedes the fruits, 19 and 20, in verse, that same chapter of Galatians. But Galatians 17 reads, the sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the spirit wants. And the spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. The two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out good intentions. Sin nature, what is the sin nature? The sin nature is that aspect in human, in a man, that makes him rebellious against God. When we speak of the sin nature, we refer to the fact that we have a natural inclination to sin, given the choice to do God's will or our own, we will naturally choose to do our own thing. Have you ever noticed when you go about to try to do the will of God, there's a struggle? When you want to operate in the fruits, there's a struggle. This is why. Proof of the sin nature abounds. No one has to teach a child to lie or to be selfish. Rather, we go to great lengths to teach children to tell the truth and to put others first. Sinful behavior comes naturally. The news is filled with all kinds of stuff, shooting, violence, babies getting killed because of this. The sin nature affects every atom, every eon of our body. And unfortunately, the world has turned their back on God, and because they have turned their back on God, we are now seeing blood in our streets. The Bible explains the reason for the trouble. Humanity is sinful, not just in theory or in practice, but by nature. Sin is part of the very fiber of our being. The Bible speaks of a sinful flesh in Romans 8:3. It's our earthly nature that produces the list of sins in Colossians 3:5 and Romans 6:6. Speaks of the body ruled by sin. The flesh and blood existence we lead on this earth is shaped by our sinful and corrupt nature. The sin nature is universally humane. It is humane and it is universally humanity. All of us have a sinful nature, and it affects every part of us. Hallelujah. When we look at the doctrine of total debauchery and it's biblical, all of us go astray. Isaiah 53:6. Paul admits that the trouble is with me, for I am all too human, a slave to sin. Romans 7:14. Paul was in his sinful nature to a slave to the law of sin, Romans 7:25. Solomon concurs, indeed, there's no one on earth who is righteous, no one who does what is right, never sins, Ecclesiastes 7:20. The Apostle Paul perhaps put it most bluntly. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us, 1 John 1:8. Every child has a sin nature. David states that he was born with sin already at work within him. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me, Psalms 51:5. David states that from the birth that we're wicked and we go astray, from the womb, wayward, spreading lies. Psalms 58:3. Where did the sin nature come from? Scripture says that God created humans good without a sinful nature. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him male and female. He created them, Genesis 1:27. However, we get to Genesis 3, records the disobedience of Adam and Eve. By that one action, sin entered into their nature. They were immediately stricken with a sense of shame and unfitness, and they hid from God's presence, Genesis 3:8. When they had children, Adam's image and likeness was passed along to his offspring, Genesis 5:3. The sin nature manifests itself early in the genealogically, Father forgive me, genealogy. Thank you, Lord. The first child born to Adam and Eve, Cain, became the first murderer, Genesis 4:8. From generation to generation, the sin nature was passed down to all humanity. Sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin. And this way, death came to all people, because all sin, Romans 5:12. This verse also presents the unsettling truth that sin, the sin nature, leads to death. See Romans 6:20, verse 23, and Ephesians 2:1. Other consequences of the sin nature are hostility towards God, ignorance of his truth. Paul says, the mind governed by the flesh is hostility to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it or will it. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God, as we see by the Bible in Romans 8:7-8. Also, the person without the Spirit does not accept the things that comes from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are disconcerned only through the Spirit, or they can discern only through the Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. It's good to have the Holy Spirit with you. So thus, therefore, we must die. We must die every day, as in 1 Corinthians 15:30-31. So we have been talking about walking in the Spirit, and I wanted to touch that basis as we conclude on this lesson today, as we wrap it up and we conclude it and we move forward. One of the things that we have, we look at the topics that we're going through today. We got the fruits of the sin nature. We've got sexual sins. We see that sex is a big business in the television. We see hostility towards others and ourselves. We got discord. We've got jealousy. We got fits of rage. And fit of rage is that example of that young lady that pushed that individual down that over a mask. That's a fit of rage. We got selfish ambitions. We got factions. And we got cliques in the church. And we got cliques, period. And certainly when we look at the internet, when we look at social media, and we look at getting online and hitting and bullying and all that issues, all of that is sin. Envy is sin. We got witchcraft. We got idolatry. And idolatry is worship of objects, principles, ideas other than God. So we've got so much to pray for. But 2 Timothy 3:1-4 reads, and this is the Amplified Bible. But understand this, that in the last days, dangerous times of great stress and trouble, will come. Difficult days that will be hard to bear. For people will be lovers of self, narcissistic, self-focused, lovers of money, impelled by greed, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, and profane. And they will be unloving, devoid of natural human affection, calloused, and inhumane, inconsolable, malice, gossip, devoid of self-control, intimidated, immoral, brutal haters of good, trailers, trackers, reckless, deceited, conceited, lovers of sensual pleasure rather than lovers of God. Now, we need to be redeemed from the sin nature. And it is through Christ that we are born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit, John 3:6, is spirit. When we are born of Adam, we inherit his sin nature, but when we are born again in God, we inherit a new nature. Therefore, if anyone is Christ, a new creature, the new creation has come. The old has gone and the new is here, 2 Corinthians 5:17. As Christ, we are not to be conformed to the values and activities of the world, according to Romans 12:2. This is the New King James Version. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you have may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We are to be Christ-like in everything we do. And in order for us to be Christ-like in everything we do, we must operate in the fruits of the fruit of the Spirit. We must allow those spirits to be displayed in our lives on a daily basis. And we must fight on a daily basis to operate in those, in the fruit of the Spirit. It's one fruit, many parts, all operating in one individual. The Holy Spirit in us is that tree. We are to produce all of those fruit, every single one of us, every day. Meaning we have got to make sure that in this last and evil day that we spend time in the presence of the Lord to make sure that our flesh is not operating over the fruit of the Spirit. We must demonstrate it. And in order to be the person that God wants us to be, we must allow those fruits to manifest themselves. When I say manifest, I mean they must be visible. They must be put in action. They must be seen by others. They must not sit on the shelf, but they must function in you every day, 24/7, 7 days a week. And certainly we don't do it of our own accord. That's why it's the fruit of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit. Because God said, in as he came, as he died on the cross and was buried, he said, I'm going to send you a comforter. And that comforter will help, will teach and train. Now, we understand that the Holy Spirit comes on the set when we get saved, but we don't take the time to allow the Spirit of the Lord to manifest on the inside. And in order for us to operate in the fruit of the Spirit, we must access that gift of God that he has given us in the Comforter and allow the Spirit of the Lord to dwell richly on the inside. So that means that I must allow the Spirit to move mightily in me, and I do that by setting myself apart and seeking the God of my salvation on a daily basis. Let's pray. Father God, if anybody is not saved, we pray, God, that they will hear this word and that they may confess their sins. And if they confess their sins and accept you as your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, they shall be saved. Father God, we pray for this word. We pray, God, that your word will not return unto you void. God, strengthen your servant, Father God, as I have attempted to function in my own limited ability. But God, I am your servant. And certainly we pray, God, for this word that you may share it abroad to those that need it, because it's not about me, but it's about you. It's about you having the victory. It's about you getting the victory through your word. Father God, give this word to somebody that needs it in the name of Jesus. Let them click on it, God. Let them click on it and say, God, I need to hear from you. What are you saying in my situation? What are you saying in my problems? We know that you are a healer. We know that you are a deliverer. We know that you cannot fail. We know that you're providing for us as even as we're talking now. And those of them that will hear this word, Father, we pray, God, that you allow the fruits of the fruit of the Spirit to work in our lives afresh, that we may function, that we may walk, that we may be the people that you're calling us to be, that we may demonstrate the fruit, and that we may be individuals and vessels that you may get the glory from. And Father God, we confess our faults unto you. We know that you are faithful and just. And Father God, right now in the name of Jesus, I pray that those that need healing, you will heal them right now in the name of Jesus. Those that need deliverance, that you will deliver them right now in the name of Jesus. That you will heal, deliver, and set free. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. If this word has been a blessing to you, certainly I welcome all comments. My telephone number is 309-750-7584, or you can hear this blog again in its entirety, and you may leave your comments. God bless. God bless, God bless, and we will talk soon. Bye-bye.